This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Tomorrow, the Mishnah Yomis starts Masechtas Kelim and Seder Taharis. So today, I decided that I'm going to give a preface to Masechtas Kelim and Seder Taharis in general, so that we'll be prepared for this last journey in the sixth Seder of Shas. So, Tuma,
which mission are you saying?
We're doing a Hakdama now. The Tuma works in a descending order. That means that as the Tuma passes from one thing to the next, it weakens. So it starts with an Ava Tuma, the origin of the Tuma, and then what it touches becomes a Rishon, and then a Sheni, etc. The exception is a corpse itself. A corpse itself is called an Avi Avos HaTuma. Now the corpse says an Avi Avos HaTuma when it touches a person, when a person touches it, the person becomes himself an avatuma. So that's the only case of an origin that comes from somewhere else. So the mace is an Avi Avos HaTuma, and when a person touches it, the person becomes an avatuma. The other examples of an avatuma are the Shmoyna Shvatzim, the eight enumerated Shvatzim, like a toad, a lizard, perhaps a porcupine, a mouse. There are eight Shvatzim. Some of their identities are in question. Some say one of them is a beaver. Some say one of them is a mole. But the eight Shvatzim are an avatuma. A nevela, an animal that was without shchita, a nevela is an avatuma. A nida is an avatuma. A zav or a zava is an avatuma. Something that has taras is an avatuma. These are all originating tuma. Now, generally, when an avatuma touches something, it becomes a rishon. There is an exception that it says bachalal cherev, cherev harihu kechal, that if metal comes in contact with a tamei mace, so it also becomes an avatuma. But that's an exception. In general, tuma weakens. So when an avatuma touches something, it becomes a rishon. A rishon touches something, it becomes a sheni. And that's the end of the line by Chulin. By Chulin, it can't be more than sheni. If sheni touches Chulin, it's not matamayit anymore. By Truma, which is more sensitive, more holy, it could become a shlishi. Kachim, the holiest, can become a revi. Now, in terminology of Tuma, there's puzzle and there's tummy. So something that is tummy but can't transmit Tuma further, like a chulin that's a sheni, it's puzzle. Chulin that's a rishon is tummy, because it can transmit Tuma further. So therefore, chulin that's a rishon is tummy, it's a sheni, it's puzzle. Truma, that's a sheni, it's tamei. It's a shlishi, it's puzzle. Kachim, that's a shlishi, it's tamei. That is a revi, is puzzle. Now, a keli, we're going to be learning Masechtas Kelim, a keli can only become tamei from an av. A rishon that touches a keli cannot be metame a keli. So a keli can become tummy from a maize, or it can become tummy from an avatum. But if a rishon touches a keli can't become tummy from a rishon. Now, food or liquids can become tummy from a rishon as well, and they can become a sheni, or by truma shlishi, or by kachim ravi. Now, food is different than drink, than beverage. Food, in order to become tummy, needs another step, and that's hechsher. It has to be mukshur lekabel tummy. It has to be moistened to be mekabel tummy. A liquid doesn't have to be moistened to be mekabel tummy. Now, the kalim themselves, there's a difference on the material of a keli. So, a metal keli, you could be metame from the inside, from the outside. A clay cheres, an earthenware vessel, can only become tame me'aviro when something goes into its interior. It's not mekabel tumah from its achurav, from its outside. Something touches a tummy on its outside, it's not mekabel tumah. A clay eitz, a wooden keli. Generally, we have a klal by wooden kelim. There are exceptions, but generally, we have a klal by wooden kelim that pshute clay eitz ain't a mekabel tumah. That flat clay eitz that doesn't have a base kibbul, it doesn't have an interior, is not mekabel tumah. Only if it has a interior, a base kibbul, is it mekabel tumah. A clay matkis, on the other hand, is mekabel tumah even if it's flat. Right? Now a keli is only mekabel tumah when it's nigmar malachtai. So for example, if you have a shoe that's still on the mold in the shoemaker's shop, it's not going to be mekabel tumah because it's not nigmar malachtai. A keli is only going to be mekabel tumah when it's nigmar malachtai. And there's a whole discussion by a lot of different kelim when they are considered to be nigmar malachtai. When they are, when it's, let's say, if it's yitzerfei bekifshim, if it's finished in the furnace, or if it was rinsed with water afterwards. There's all kinds of machloikas by different kelim when they are considered to be nigmar malachtai. And therefore, if the keli is broken and it cannot be used for its purpose anymore, even if it had a tumah, it won't be tummy anymore because it ceased to be a keli. There are different ways to convey tumah. The most simple way is maga. If the tummy touches the item, so that's tumas maga. The next case is masa. Masa is if the tummy item is carried, even if you don't come in contact with the item, but you're carrying it, that's tumas masa. There's then a more complex tumah called tumas heset. Tumas heset, which let's say a zav is metame beheset, is when the tumah moves the item, even if it doesn't come in contact or carry the item. Then there's tumas medris, or what we call mishkav u'moshev. And that's that a zav or a nida that sits upon something that is made for sitting or lies upon something that's made to lie upon, that makes it tumas medris. Then there is, by very serious tumah like a mace, tumas oil. Tumas oil is when you're under the same roof as the mace, you become Tamei because you're under the same roof as the mace. There's also a Tumas oil if the mace roofs over your head. So then that would also be Tumas oil. Of course, that's the reason why Kahanim can't go into the funeral home when the mace is there, because they can't go under the same roof as the mace. Now today, we are all Suffolk Tame. The reason why we're all Suffolk Tame is because we assume that we're all Tmei mace, and without the ash of the Paraduma being sprinkled upon us on the third and the seventh day, we cannot remove that Tumah. So that therefore we're all considered to be Tamei. And that's why, for example, we cannot go up to the Makam HaMikdash. Because to go up to the Makam HaMikdash when you're Tamei is an Issur Karis. It's not a small thing. See pictures of people going up there. They're flirting with serious, serious karis. It's like sleeping with a sister. Although a kohen is already considered to be tamei, he's still not allowed to become further tamei, which is an interesting idea. And although going to the mikveh doesn't make us tahar, there's still an advantage to go to the mikveh. What that advantage is a question. But there's still an advantage to go to the mikveh, even though the going to the mikveh does not make us tahar. So that's a little bit of a, I know you're going to all be excited to sink your teeth into all the details, and you're chomping by the bit, but this is a little bit of a hakdama to what we're going to be discussing now until the end of Shas. I also want to say the sound machine is missing from the bathroom. I don't know how a sound machine is missing from the bathroom. I don't know if somebody by accident flushed it down the toilet. But the sound machine is private property and was put there to be mezaka harabim. So I don't know if maybe somebody is annoyed by it. Please put it back. It's not yours. And it was decided that that's an advantage, that people that are in the bathroom shouldn't hear Hashem's name. And also people don't have to hear people's sounds when they're in the bathroom. So it was decided that it's a good thing to have. So even though you might not like it, please make sure that it gets back into the bathroom. Again, we remind you that the last night Svira was 35, so please remember to count Svira. We have interesting Agadata Gemara tonight at 8:40 by the Daf.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.